I'd also like to read from the 101 that we've been doing. 101 Hadith Qudsi. Well, I'll read two. And these are powerful. Sometimes the dervishes feel they're too powerful. You know, they're too jalal. I've had a dervish, our brother who was in retreat here, said, you know, he reads these and then he was calling me on the phone and saying, I don't know what to do with this. So they are strong medicine, some of them very strong medicine. I alone have created you. Allah the Sublime and Majestic proclaims, O children of Adam, how can you deny my power? I alone have created you, fashioning for you a beautiful and harmonious form. Yet you begin to move about arrogantly, causing the earth to tremble beneath your steps. You begin to amass wealth without sharing it, until your soul reaches your throat at the moment of death, and you cry out to me, now I wish to give in charity. How can you imagine this last moment to be the proper time to establish your intention? This Havad is part of the oral tradition transmitted by the sage Asad ibn Musa. I am never an unjust lord. Allah, may he be exalted and glorified, reveals, if my servants lose their state of ritual purity and do not perform fresh ablutions, they are unjust toward me. If they perform ablution without offering two cycles of prostration, they are unjust toward me. If they offer prostrations without concluding by supplicating me, they are unjust toward me. If they have made clear supplication and have waited without receiving any response from me, then I would be unjust toward them. But I am never an unjust lord. This Chabad was transmitted by the noble companion Ibn al-Jarrah. May Allah be pleased with him. Ibn al-Jarrah was one of the companions, and he was one of the ones of the ten, it said, who was promised paradise already from this life by the Prophet. And he was the ancestor of Nuruddin Jarahi, who is our peer. So, in a way, there's an intimacy there. And if my servants lose their state of ritual purity. So this is, you know, one speaks of that tendency in ourselves to just put things off and to do what is unimportant rather than addressing what is essential and what is life-giving and eternal life-giving. But we put it off. We are sort of beguiled. We are almost bewitched by creation, you know. And some traditions are very strongly pointing to this, and, you know, ours too, our tradition too, speaks of that. I mean, the Quran speaks of this. The Quran says, you know, this creation, as beautiful as it is, but the metaphor for it is just like water falling from the sky, making you know, a beautiful field of green and glory, and then a moment later it's rubble and dust and gone. So, but we don't like to reflect on that aspect of creation. We enjoy rather the flourishing side, the flowery side, the fruitful side, the good tasting side. So that's okay too, because that will lead us to God. Leads through all the directions. That's why there's not just one door to the Beloved. There are many, 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 many doors. In fact, everything is the door to the Beloved. The mystics say every breath is a path to Allah. In fact, we sing that in our Ilahi. Every breath is the path to Allah, each life an open door. So, but sometimes it is important to reflect on the transitoriness of our life, of creation, and that we cannot rely on this. You know, we spoke in the last time, or maybe the time before that, about how much time we spend caring for this life, this world, and, you know, the metaphor of piling up goods. We all do, I do it. I mean, I'm a terrible accumulator, and Ali knows that. So it's not that I'm talking from a place of beyond that, but I know that it's, there's something better than that. There's something better than that, and that is relying on Allah moment by moment, and living simply from the source, and not taking such pleasure in things, in accumulation, whether it's accumulation of what we think of as knowledge, which is, you know, on that level is just information, or accumulation of objects, or accumulation of wealth, or accumulation of power. And we don't have to be in the 1% to do that. We all do that to different degrees, you know. So it would take like a Shems, bringing Shems in tonight, as it's Rumi's birthday, we're celebrating. A Shems lived in the moment, and he relied on nothing but Allah. And he didn't almost enjoy participating in creation. His place was always beyond creation, before creation or beyond creation. So, inshallah, may we inherit, all of us, you know, an atom or half an atom of that Shems, and then half an atom of the Mevlana, who was also like Nur, who an Effendi, who are definitely his descendants spiritually, who saw the divine wherever they were. Looked, walillahi al-mashriq wal-maghrib, wherever you look, to the east and the west, there is my face, you know. So we are more of that tendency, but we need just a drop of the other as a sobering medicine. We every now and then we need sobriety, and we say our path is drunkenness in sobriety and drunkenness, and drunkenness and sobriety. So the two together are very balancing. And so let's not put off what we should be doing now. So what should we be doing now? You know, people say, well, what do you think God wants me to do? You know, this was a question, not so much right now in this time of dervishes, but some years ago, I would get the question, well, what does God want me to do? Well, God wants you simply to be present and love God and praise God and turn to God and ask God's forgiveness. That's what God wants from us. And be generous to people and kind and you know, follow the best examples of humanity, sharing and to be inspired also. Not to be a dullard, not so to reveal, to be a revealer of the divine beauty, a revealer of the divine generosity, a revealer of the divine wisdom and guidance. So that's really what Allah wants. It doesn't so much matter whether we get a job as a shoemaker or a job as a, you know, I don't want to say CEO, because that's a tough job to be a CEO and still remember Allah, you know. But let's say maybe as a professor or something like that. But inshallah, we will also develop business that is compassionate business that is really simply more bringing back the sense of interrelatedness and interdependence between people and sharing of goods, you know. Clearly we need a whole new economic structure, and inshallah that will come about too. So then if one is the CEO of that company, it'll be a very, very different affair. So this is the moment. We have nothing but this moment, you know. So every moment is our last moment, really. We have to live in the moment, live now. And not rely on the future. Say, oh, I'll do it then. I'll go out and kiss my mother, you know, next week. Or I'll go out and give some sadaka to the poor man in the street next week. Or we pass him by right now and I say, okay, I'll come by tomorrow. We know that. You know, in New York, we have so many ample opportunities for a charitable way of life. Even if we just offer a fatiha for someone. You know, maybe we don't have money on ourselves, or just a fatiha, or a kind greeting, or something. There's always opportunities to serve. So, alhamdulillah. That, and then the other hadith is really, you know, how many of us, I mean, it's recommended to be, if you're a dervish, to be an ablution the whole time. But that takes time. You know, it takes some years maybe. And then if you're an ablution the whole time, how many of us, every time we make ablution, are going to do 2 rak'ahs? Not even all of the companions of the Prophet, I don't think, did that. You know, maybe that's the great saints, the great friends who are constantly under Allah's gaze. But the real point of that hadith is that we turn to Allah and ask Allah. So we are unjust. Allah says, if you don't do this, you're unjust to me. Our nature is that we're going to be unjust. We can never be just anyway. So, you know, those people who struggle with all their might to be the righteous ones don't make it anyway. And they fail sometimes in other ways, because they, you know, they become sour-faced, as we were speaking earlier. As Rumi would love to say, he would always speak about the rosy-cheeked ones and the sour-faced ones. So the sour-faced ones were those, you know, probably who were very righteous and doing everything correctly and looking down on everybody else. So we don't want to follow that. So it's better to miss our righteous actions on that level. And we can never be just to God. But let's not miss asking for God's own justice and own mercy upon ourselves and upon all creation. So never cease supplicating that. And Allah says, I answer every prayer. You know, so that's a promise. I answer every prayer. And again, there's much to say about that, but let's just leave it there. Because people will say, oh, well, you know, it didn't come, or it didn't happen, or, well, maybe we haven't prayed enough, or maybe it came in a different way, different form, that was even better for us. So, alhamdulillah. So let's quiet our, still our minds, and allow our hearts to expand and breathe and just to be. There's nothing to grasp, nothing to attain. It's more of a letting go and a falling back into God's heart, Allah's heart. And allowing creation to be, because we're, in some level, we're meddlers. We make so many opinions and judgments about how creation should be, you know. So it's good just to sometimes let go completely and just allow Allah to be the Malik. And then everything, there at least becomes peaceful in a certain level. Allah is the caretaker and the guide and the support, the creator, the sustainer, the guide, the intimate friend.